Congregation, I want to begin together this evening a short topical series on the theme of the return of Christ and the last things. And if Pastor John hadn't already, in his series on 2 Peter, addressed the question, is Jesus coming? You remember that sermon? All these years people have been saying, is he coming? Oh, it's a bit like Noah in the days of Noah. All this time has gone by. And 2 Peter said, God is patient. God is patient. Yes, Jesus is coming. Well, if John hadn't already preached on that just a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago perhaps, I might well have begun there. So yes, Jesus is coming back, and he's not come back yet because God is patient. God wants to allow an opportunity for sinners to repent and find salvation in Jesus. And so that was one text gone. Then I was tempted to preach on the story of the thief on the cross, and John didn't steal that sermon off me. You remember the words of the thief, Jesus to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And maybe I will take that text one day, but not now. I may well use that at Yucana, Bill, when I'm preaching in Yucana, not this Wednesday, but Wednesday after. I just want to point out in brief, though, that those words of Jesus, today you'll be with me in paradise, shows us that there's no in-between place where when a believer dies, they go immediately to be with the Lord. And so we are either here on earth serving the Lord, or we are with the Lord in heaven, one of only two places. The area and this theme of the last things I want to explore this evening, and we're going to continue exploring different themes over the coming evenings, I want to explore the theme of Judgment Day. I want us to explore that theme this evening because many people have questions about it. And maybe you have some questions about that theme this evening. I want to take that broad theme from the passage we've read in Romans 2, but also move around the scriptures as well as needed. And so the first day of judgment truth that we see revealed in Romans 2 is this, that on judgment day, God will judge everyone. That's as Paul alludes to in verse 6 of Romans 2. God will give to each person according to what he has done. But spelled out even more clearly in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, where Paul says there, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We confess in the Nicene Creed, as we confessed earlier on in our service as well, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. Everyone, living and the dead. What that means is that Christians are not immune from Judgment Day. We haven't got a note that excuses us from attendance. All the living and the dead shall appear before the throne of Christ Jesus. Men, women, and children, from the beginning of the world right to its end, we will all personally appear before the judge. What about Christians who've already died? Because I've already said this evening, haven't I, that if we're not here on earth serving the Lord, we are in heaven with the Lord. Yes, all who are in heaven also will be summoned to appear before Jesus. And you might say, well, why would that be? Why, if they are already in heaven, if the judgment is still to come? Well, I think perhaps the problem is that we think too much of Judgment Day in human terms, like a human court. In our courts, a court sits to determine whether someone is guilty or not. It's a process of investigation, trying to work out what happened, whether what's been alleged is true. Friends, God doesn't need to investigate. He already knows the elect by name. He knew us by name before the creation of the world. He knows those who have trusted in Jesus. He chose us in Christ before the very creation. And so when we die, God doesn't need to wait till Judgment Day to determine an outcome. But if that's so, then why have a final judgment? If God already knows where we will spend all eternity, and if those who die in Christ, die in faith, before Jesus returns, are already in heaven in the Lord's presence, then why have a judgment day? Friends, I think the answer to that question is that the outstanding purpose of the final judgment is not to determine who will go where, but rather to display God's sovereignty and His glory. You see, up until that day, the final destiny of every human being who has ever lived and who is now living has been hidden. And now finally that destiny will be revealed along with the faith that each one either had or did not have, the deeds each one did or did not do, the life each one lived or did not live. And as God does this, as this takes place, two things will happen. God's grace will be magnified in the lives of believers, and that will be seen by all. The whole of creation will see how gracious and kind and compassionate our God has been to all who love Jesus. And our salvation will be seen as magnificently glorious. And all will praise the goodness of God. And so God will receive glory in the sight of all creation. God's grace will be magnified in the lives of all believers. And God's justice will be displayed, will be magnified in the lives of all who did not believe. And that also will be seen by all. The whole of creation will see just how righteous and just God has been to all who turn their backs on Him. And we will be filled with a true sense of the perverseness, the ugliness of sin, And how deserving it is of punishment. And friends, God will receive glory. And so the fact that everyone will be judged by God on Judgment Day means that God's glory is going to be displayed through your life. It's going to be displayed through your life, no two ways about it. When you stand in the dock, the whole of the universe will approve of the outcome, whatever the outcome might be. So we as human beings, we don't have a choice about whether God will be glorified in our life, whether God's glory will be displayed through our life. We do have a choice in terms of how God's glory will be displayed. Whether God's mercy and salvation will be the key to God's being glorified through your life, or whether God's righteous and just judgment will be the way in which God's glory is seen in your life. So I'd say to you this evening, as I'd say to everyone, friends, choose life. Choose Christ. Choose salvation. God will be glorified in your life, just as He will be glorified through the life of everyone who has ever lived from the beginning of the world through to its end. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that God's glory may be magnified in your life and through your life in that day in terms of salvation. In Judgment Day, God will judge everyone, and it will be to His glory. Here's a second Judgment Day truth that we see in Romans 2, that on Judgment Day, God will reveal all. God will judge all, but God will also reveal all. And again, we have verse 6, God will give to each person according to what he has done. Follow there through from verse 16. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ. On Judgment Day, God will reveal all. Everything that you have ever said, everything that you have ever thought, everything that you have ever done will be on display, will be revealed. Jesus tells us that our words will be revealed in Matthew 12, verse 36. I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Or later on in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25, the parable Jesus tells of the sheep and the goats. Jesus teaches that not only our words, but also our deeds and our actions will be revealed. You know the words well. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Nothing will stand secret on that day, for the Lord knows everything about us. Just think of the words of Psalm 139. We sing them sometimes. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. O Lord, you know it completely. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. God knows all. God will reveal all. Are you worried yet? Those secret sins in your life that nobody else knows about, apart from you. Those things you did when nobody else was watching. Those thoughts you've thought about other people, which you would be horrified if they were to be projected up onto the wall this evening. Hidden motives of your heart, hidden to all around you, but known to the Lord. Friends, that worry, that fear that we have of being discovered, I think should awaken within us this evening a fresh realization of the ugliness of sin. And that if others would be revolted by what you've done, then the Lord God is right to treat sin seriously. And that it's right for you and I, for us to feel shame and to be ashamed of our sin. One day God will reveal all. Everything I've said so far is true, but also this also is true. Your sins will be revealed, but they will be revealed as forgiven sins. As sins that, however ugly they are no longer held against you. Sins for which Jesus died and He paid the price for them in full. Some time ago, Lydia and I watched an old BBC series on DVD about the life of an English country vet, James Herriot. Are any of you familiar with that? James Herriot, yeah, isn't it wonderful, isn't it? I'm sure some of the story, you'll remember this story, but We were watching, and on one occasion for his wedding anniversary, his colleagues trick him into taking his wife out to a particular restaurant for dinner. And he came on the recommendation of his colleagues, who tricked him into thinking it was reasonably inexpensive, only to sit down at the table with his wife on this wonderful anniversary dinner that he'd planned for her. And he picks up the menu and he finds out that the prices were anything but inexpensive. They were, in fact, top dollar. And being a poor country vet, he's sitting there, no doubt, throughout the whole evening in trepidation. He's wondering how he's going to pay the bill. And it's made worse by the fact that when the waiter eventually does arrive with the bill, he finds that the check that he thought he had in his pocket had in fact been eaten by a goat. He starts to tell the waiter that the check has been eaten by a goat, which, as you can imagine, is about as good as telling the teacher that the dog ate my homework. Only for the waiter to tell him, it's already been taken care of, this bill. All you need to do is sign at the bottom. Paid for in full by those same colleagues who tricked him into going there in the first place. And friends, Jesus has already paid the bill. When you appear before him on Judgment Day, you are not going to feel caught short of a dollar. You're not going to feel like there's this big bill on the way and you've got no means to pay. Because Jesus is going to say, these sins paid for, covered by my blood. And so all will be revealed. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you need not fear that day. And yet the realization that we will have to give an account for all that we have ever done, said and thought, at the same time, I think ought to be a motivation for us to take sin seriously in our lives, to be diligent in fighting against sin in our life, to be diligent and conscientious in our service for the Lord, to seek to live for the Lord in all things. Friends, use the knowledge that one day all will be revealed, not to hold you back in fear and in paralysis, to spur you on this evening to love and to good deeds. On Judgment Day, God will reveal all. And here's the final Judgment Day truth that we see in Romans 2. That is, on Judgment Day, God will reward all fairly. God will reward all fairly. Again, verse 6, God will give to each person according to what he has done. And then verse 12 as well, Paul continues, all who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. They show the requirements of the law written on their hearts. Congregation, God's judgment on the final day is going to be a fair judgment. The outcome will be fair and the rewards will be fair as well. We see that clearly here in Romans 2. God doesn't judge people according to what they didn't have, but according to what they did have. If you had the law, you're judged against the law. If you had conscience, you'll be judged against conscience. If you had the knowledge of God in creation, God's general revelation, you'll be judged according to that knowledge. And the greater the knowledge, the greater your responsibility. And there is, in the passages we read before that John led us in from Matthew and Luke, there is here a mystery that we cannot dip into too deeply this evening, or any evening for that matter. We know that hell is the eternal punishment of everyone who does not turn in faith to Jesus. But even here, Jesus teaches that there is some graduations of punishment. What did Jesus say? He said, it will be more bearable for the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon than for Capernaum who heard Jesus teach. The city of Sodom, as wicked as it was, will be treated with greater leniency than those who saw the Savior and rejected his message. That's the difficult teaching that those passages taught. God is fair. That's what they're teaching. God is fair and the punishment will fit the crime. This isn't steal a crust of bread and get sent to Australia as a convict. This is murder and get sent here as well. This is a punishment that's going to fit the crime. It's not one size fits all, blindly applied. As we read in Luke 12, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does these things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. For the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. That's why it's a very serious thing to be baptized and to grow up within the church and then walk away. With greater privilege comes greater responsibility, a responsibility to walk in the Lord's ways. But by the same token, greater privilege exercised responsibly also brings greater reward. God will save us according to faith, Bible also teaches that we will be further rewarded according to our deeds. The person who had 5 talents and used them well receives a 5-talent reward. The person who had 10 talents and used them well received a 10-talent reward. A reward fitting what has been done. To be sure, glory is glory. Heaven is heaven. Eternal life is eternal life. Perhaps the best way to picture this is by way of illustration. Over the course of your life, perhaps you've studied and learned a musical instrument. And if you've done that, put it to you this evening, that your capacity for enjoying music is greatly increased. And you gain a love for things that you wouldn't have noticed just going on in the background of a larger piece of music, and all of a sudden you can hear what's going on, and you appreciate that piece of music. You appreciated it once upon a time already, and then having gained a greater appreciation of music, you love the same thing, and yet you love it all the more. A similar way, as one theologian described it, our devotion to Christ and to service in His kingdom increases our capacity for enjoying the blessings of the kingdom, both in the present life and in the life to come. Or Leon Morris, who said, "Here and now, the person who gives themselves wholeheartedly to the service of Christ knows more of the joy of the Lord than those who are half-hearted." It's true, isn't it? As you give yourself to the service of the Lord wholeheartedly, you know a greater joy in the Lord. And he says, we have no reason from the New Testament to think that it will be otherwise in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord so that your joy in the Lord may increase. Your capacity to enjoy the Lord may be magnified, both now and in the life to come. And eagerly, eagerly await the day of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.